The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Happy holidays and new year to all of you tuning in this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, taking you through the fastest hour in radio. And I tell you what, we've certainly been enjoying all the fun-filled activities. I'm especially enjoying the bowl games and this 24/7, it seems like, college football coverage. Can't get enough of that in the Campbell household. And we are so delighted to welcome in a guy that loves college football. He knows a thing or two about it. That, of course, is our three-time national champion, former player in the NFL, Nebraska's very own Jason Peter. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, JP.
Yeah, you too, Elissa. I am enjoying bowl season. The thing I'm not enjoying is that my family and I came out to California figuring we needed some sunshine, and all we've been getting is pouring rain and one of the worst rainstorms I think they've had here in the history of California. So it's not a good sign, or hopefully better things are yet to come over this Christmas holiday.
Well, hopefully that sunshine will come through. I can't feel too sorry for you, though, JP. I mean, what were the temperatures in Nebraska? They're pretty frigid this past week.
It was cold, but at least you could go outside. You know, you put on a jacket, and you didn't have to worry about getting soaking wet. This rainstorm's affecting more than just people's golf games. I saw a picture of a stadium down in San Diego where Nebraska's supposed to be playing, and it looked like the field had 10 feet of water on top of it. Unbelievable, some of the photographs and the video that I've seen from this storm out here. And I'm not one who usually uses the word storm when it involves just rain, but this is the first time that I'd have to say it probably fits.
Well, they certainly were showing a lot of still shots during the Boise State-Utah game on Wednesday night. We saw a lot of that. But before we start breaking down some of the upcoming bowl games, let's talk about the big story that was coming out and creating quite a flash. Ohio State investigating tattoo allegations. What were your thoughts about this going on?
I'm sure there's some guys that are guilty of swapping memorabilia for free tattoos. I know Terrell Pryor has already twittered about him paying for his tattoo. Now, maybe he did pay for one at some point, but you know, these kids nowadays, they have their entire sleeve, their entire arm is covered. And the thing for me, I guess, that's hard for me to comprehend is these kids, it's a struggle for them to pay for their room and board with their scholarship checks, let alone one of these tattoos that's maybe 3 inches by 3 inches on your arm, your shoulder, is going to run you a couple hundred dollars. And if you're coming, you know, say by your sophomore year and you've got both arms covered, where's that money coming from? A lot of these kids aren't coming from great financial backgrounds, so obviously the money's coming from somewhere, or they're just swapping you know, gifts, items, tattoos for a signed jersey, signed ball. It's something certainly I think that the NCAA is going to continue to look into. I know that not everybody has that sort of money. And, you know, it's a different time. It's a different era than when I played. Back when I played, it was, you know, 13, 14 years ago. There was still something rebellious about having a tattoo. Now it's more accepted, and these kids are coming out of high school. Not that my kids will ever have tattoos coming out of high school, and that's coming from a guy who has one arm pretty much covered in tattoos. But, you know, they're going to have to wait until they're 18, 19 years old, or until they're paying their own room and board checks for them to decide that they're going to have something permanent on one of their arms.
Well, Jason, for these full scholarship athletes, it's all about the Pell Grant, right? The Pell Grant can pay for those tattoos.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, like I said,
they're not cheap.
They're not cheap. They really aren't. And if you want somebody who is halfway reputable and somebody that you know, probably has a good word around town that he does good work, it's going to cost more than just going to the average podunk joint and getting it tattooed by some guy who's probably drank a 12-pack already. Probably not the best situation, but, you know, these guys, it certainly raises the question as to where they came up with the money.
Well, if you're the head coach, Jim Tressel, the timing is not good. Ohio State, of course, will be taking on Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl. You want your guys focused on that, not having to deal with this type of distraction, and also even the announcement, the fact that it was even mentioned during the Boise State-Utah game earlier this week.
Yeah, and the fact that Kirk Herbstreit, who's an Ohio State alum.
I mean,
I'm sure it's never easy when you have to kind of reveal something dirty about your alma mater. So, you know, there's probably some legs there with this story, and there is some truth. And like I said, when you look at the amount of guys on a roster that have tattoos, it's a lot nowadays. And I'm sure every single one of them is probably in the back of their mind thinking, gosh, are they going to find out about me? You know, is my name going to surface in this whole deal? Is my eligibility at stake? Is my NFL future going to be ruined? You know, how is this thing going to affect me? And when you have those types of things running through your mind, the thing that they're not thinking of is, how am I going to attack Ryan Mallett and this offense of Arkansas? How am I going to stop you know, this receiver? You know, those are the things that guys should be worried about, not worrying about if their name's going to get dragged into this NCAA investigation.
Well, as you said, an NCAA investigation. We'll have to see if any players do end up being ineligible. But a moment ago, I had highlighted and talked a little bit about as far as Boise State, Utah. You did have the opportunity, JP, to watch that particular game. I know there was so much buildup for this particular game, a lot of energy and hype. What did you think in terms of, I thought Boise State got off to a very slow start, but then they ended up rallying in the end.
They did. It was an interesting first 10 minutes of the game. I guess a lot of the build up about you know, the two teams at the Hard Rock Cafe one night and getting into you know, pushing match, or maybe there was a little brawl, maybe some punches were exchanged between some players, and you could sense the hatred out there between the two teams, and they were really going after one another, and I thought, wow, we might really have a good game here on our hands. And Boise State, whether it was they were so concerned about trying to, you know, get the upper hand, get that last shot in, and they weren't concentrating about executing. You know, whatever the reason was, they started off slow, but Chris Peterson was able to kind of gather them up, and he got them right on track. And that Kellen Moore, I'll tell you what, he's been nothing but spectacular for his entire career. He really has done a tremendous job, and he's the general out there when it comes to that Boise State offense. But, you know, it's crazy when you think about college football, and you know, it's the topic that it doesn't matter what time of the year, if it's the beginning or the end, or it's bowl season, you know, the question of the automatic qualifiers and the non-automatic qualifiers, and Boise State and TCU, and you look at these programs that back, I mean, when I played, you think of Boise State, and there's no way you'd mention a team like that, or you know, TCU. I never really put them in the same category as Boise. I think they've always, in my mind, represented something more than just a non-automatic qualifier type school. But, you know, to think of the athletes now that are playing at these schools, it's unbelievable how the talent has really been spread throughout college football, and these teams can compete with anybody. They really can. There used to be such a difference, I think, on the offensive and defensive lines at a school like a Boise or TCU, and it's just not the case anymore. And you know, I'm thrilled that TCU is going to be moving on to a big so-called power conference where there is an automatic bid and they'll be able to achieve all their goals and dreams, and there's not going to be so much controversy. Boise State, on the other hand, not so lucky. They made the move thinking that maybe there would be a more competitive conference, and now all they're getting is really a conference that's going to be without two of their best teams.
It's our college football segment. We are going under the helmet with Jason Peter, breaking it all down. Here you were talking about Kellen Moore, and that was interesting. They even, Brent Musburger, Kirk Herbstreit, talked about, you know, his ability to assimilate, to call plays, just the terrific rhythm and anticipation that he has. What kind of career does he have ahead of him? Just, you know, as a backup quarterback in the NFL, or will he play pro?
Yeah, that's hard to say. It really is. I think a guy like that who's always a winner, I think there'll always be a spot for him. You always want guys like that on your roster. I think it was a similar conversation with Tim Tebow a year ago, and you know, is he just a great college quarterback, or can he make the jump to the next level? And you know, now he's started his first game last week, and it was a loss, but I thought he did well. And for a guy that supposedly didn't have a snowball's chance in hell at succeeding in the NFL, I think it was a step in the right direction. And I think Kellen Moore, probably not built out of the same cloth as Tim Tebow, a different type of quarterback, different style of quarterback, but they're both winners. And you can never have enough winners on your team. I mean, it's something that scouts look for when they are dissecting all of these young men that play from the big colleges in the SEC to the small ones in conferences that you or I have maybe never even heard of, and they want to know, is this kid a winner? Does he know how to win? Does he know how to finish a game? Does he know how to come back when he's behind and still be able to put the nail in the coffin? And it is something that they look for. And they just have to, I think, sit there and say, does he have enough physical capability? Does he have enough arm strength? And it's just a matter sometimes of them giving a guy a chance. Chad Pennington was a guy who never could throw the ball 60, 70 yards, but he was a guy who could take an offense down the field in under 2 minutes and could get that team in the end zone. So it's just a matter of how much is a team willing to, deal with, or how patient are they willing to be.
Well, we'll have to wait and see on Kellen Moore, but perhaps, Jason, what other college quarterbacks has surprised you this year or perhaps was underrated this season?
College quarterbacks that may have... I think the kid down at TCU, I think Dalton, I think he's a guy who is very similar in the fact that maybe just because he didn't play at a SEC school or a Big 12 school, that he didn't get all the recognition that a Ryan Mallett did, or even a Landry Jones, guys who play for major college football programs. Andy Dalton's been nothing but a winner. And, he's a guy who probably fits better into the NFL mold maybe than Kellen Moore. But I think they're both going to be asked and faced with the same question. Well, they were able to do it against a team, every 4 or 5 games that had, decent speed or top-notch breaking ability in their cornerbacks or guys, defenses that can really disguise coverage and so on and so forth. But they're both guys that all they've done is won. And, not to repeat myself with what I just went through with Kellen Moore, but he's kind of in that same mold where it's just going to be a matter of, does a team think that his games against Alabama or I'm just thinking off the top of my head,
right,
any of the big schools that they've played, will that translate into a 16-17 week season in the NFL?
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do need to pause and direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We also need to thank our premier sponsor. That is the friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. And you can check out JP's work at jasonpeter.com. Well, let's talk about your school, Nebraska, Washington, the big bowl game. I know you're so excited about this. Woohoo! December 30th. Give us the forecast. And I understand the tickets are just going like wildfire. I mean, they can't even keep them, right?
Yeah, you could still get tickets if you want. And on top of it, the weather's probably not helping. Like I said, I saw the stadium just yesterday, and gosh, there was a lot of water on top. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Nebraska fans are kind of going to make a last-minute surge here and swap up some tickets.
Let me jump in here. You guys have sold less than 7,500 tickets of the 11,000 ticket allotment as of Tuesday earlier this week. I mean, that's just unbelievable. You guys in the past have never had any trouble selling tickets for bowl games, JP.
I know. And the reality is, I think if USC wasn't on probation, if USC was the team that we were playing here, which is the way it probably would have worked out, I think you would have seen a sold-out stadium. But instead, you got 6-6 Washington, and this goes back to, this is a conversation where we could pick up an hour. Should kids be rewarded for going 500, for being average? Because ultimately, that's what you are when you're 6-6. And this is big time college football. This is bowl season. This is supposed to be the best of the best. And now you're rewarding for average. It's very intramural like. And that raises the question of whether or not a team like Washington should even be playing in the Holiday Bowl. I mean, the Holiday Bowl always pitted two pretty good teams against one another, and now you have a team that's 500, and I know that their hands were kind of tied with this one because of USC being on probation, and the Pac-10 just wasn't that deep this year, but with also Oregon playing in the national championship and Stanford then getting a BCS nod, they didn't have a whole lot to pick from, but it's something that I guess Nebraska fans maybe are getting a little bit spoiled, or maybe they feel like we're above maybe playing a 6-6 Washington. And don't get me wrong, but what I just said about Washington and whether or not they should be playing, that doesn't mean that they can't show up and beat Nebraska. Nebraska's not at that point where you just show up, and because you walk out onto the field and you got that red N on the side of your helmet, that other team's going to lay down, or that other team is going to be intimidated. Those days are long, long gone, and you got to earn that sort of respect. And they still have to go out and show that every single day.
Well, Jason, I just think I feel for Husker fans because they're disappointed. It's one thing to get to a bowl game, but to be invited to the same bowl game 2 years in a row, how often does that happen?
Yeah, not often, I imagine, unless you compare it to the days when I played where you were getting invited in to play in a national championship game every single year. But, it's discouraging, I think, for the fans because they played Washington already earlier in the year, and they have to play them again next year. So, you're kind of asking fans to travel during the regular season. You're asking them to travel during the postseason in a time when the economy is not great. And for what? To see them play a team that they've already played and they're going to play again three times in a 12-month span. Part of, I think, fans wanting to travel each year is to see them play a different opponent, not the same opponent that they just played a couple months back, and then an opponent that they know they're going to start the season off with next year.
Does Nebraska, do they have more to lose than to gain in this particular game? I mean, you lose to Washington, you have to think, I mean, does the program take a step backwards?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, I think when you're looking for a good start in the next season, I think a lot of it starts with the bowl game. That was, a mindset that we took back in 1996, and that was the year that we were trying to go three in a row with national champions. And then we lost the Big 12 championship game to Texas. And we ended up having to play Virginia Tech in the Orange Bowl. And I remember us saying that this is not about finishing off a 1996 season where we didn't achieve all of our goals. This is about us starting off the 1997 season on a good foot and having momentum on our side. And I think it's crucial because it's going to be a game where a lot of guys get playing time. I'm sure Bo's going to want to see how well some guys maybe that haven't had as much playing time throughout this past season, he's going to want to see them because he's going to start preparing this team for next year. And obviously there's a fine line there because you got to make sure that you win the game as well. But he's going to want to see some players maybe play in a bowl atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of pressure and the lights are shining bright on these games, and you know, they're national coverage, so you want to see how guys react in those situations.
Well, Coach Bo Pelini, he also, JP, I'm sure you'll agree, he's going to want to see significant improvement with the passing game. I mean, you guys did have big-time problems in the Big 12 title game. I mean, Taylor Martinez sacked 7 times, threw an interception. He's going to want some improvement and to be able to build upon that going into spring practice and then into next year.
Yeah, I mean, just the quarterback position, I'm sure, probably keeps Bo up at nights wondering what he should do. You know, there is such big play capability with Taylor Martinez, but then you're also talking about a young kid who obviously was a deer in headlights in that Big 12 championship game. You know, but the offensive line didn't help him at all, and you got to go out and you got to execute. All 11 guys on the same side of the ball have to go out and execute every single play, because if there's one play where one guy doesn't execute, it potentially breaks down the entire play, and that's what's great about football, is you need all 11 guys to be on the same page at the same time, and if they're not, you know, the results can be catastrophic and can end up costing you the game, and you know, whether or not Taylor Martinez is the guy for the next 3 years at Nebraska, that remains to be seen. You know, these are decisions that Bo's going to have to make, but ultimately it's decisions that the players make, because it's up to them whether or not they want to be, you know, the number one guy or they want to be a backup guy. It all comes out on the field, but in terms of how Bo wants his locker room run and you know, who the leaders are, that stuff that you really can't wait for, and you can't wait for players to decide. It's got to be something that's done, and you got to make sure that you know, the locker room is one tight knit group. So you know, these are a lot of problems I think that have plagued Nebraska here in the last back half of this season. So you want to get those things figured out before this bowl game is played.
The last time we had a detailed conversation about Nebraska's quarterback, Taylor Martinez, of course, he was, you know, battling that turf toe. He had the injured right ankle. And also, he was not the guy necessarily that was building that camaraderie in the locker room. And perhaps some rumors were swirling around that, is he going to transfer? Will he stay there in Lincoln? What is the latest, Jason?
The latest is that he's a Husker, and that like all the talk of him transferring was just that, was rumor. But I just think that they did a pretty good job at putting the fire out. I think all the talk about Bo maybe taking the job down in Miami, which was also just rumor on at least the side of Nebraska, maybe the athletic director down at Miami, Holcutt, maybe he wanted Bo, but it just seemed to be one-sided. There was also talk about Bo maybe turning the Florida job down before Will Muschamp had gotten it. You know, again, it never got to the point where it was something Bo was talking about, but I think all of that talk about Bo going here or there, it forced people not to be talking about whether or not Taylor Martinez is transferring or not, and it got people off that topic, and I think that could have been something that strategically Bo did. Who knows? But, you know, people just stopped talking about it, and it was just kind of Taylor Martinez is our quarterback, and, you know, it wasn't about whether or not Taylor Martinez is going to be our quarterback next year. It's just that he's our quarterback this year, and right now that's all we know. Maybe he knows something different. Maybe Martinez's father knows something different. Who knows? But obviously there is something there. You know, and most people saw that on the night of the Big 12, the Texas A&M game.
Right.
When Bo got in Taylor Martinez's face. And, you know, it's something that I'm sure will work itself out.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how things continue to evolve with the Nebraska's quarterback and Taylor Martinez. But what about your wide receiver and Niles Paul? Is he going to return and finish out his Husker career on a high note?
He's finished, I believe. I believe it was a foot, and I want to say he had surgery on it, and I believe his career's over now as a Husker, but crazier things have happened. I don't know, being out here in California, haven't been able to maybe get the inside tab on whether or not he was able to make a recovery, but I'm pretty sure he's been ruled out.
Jason Peters has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We look forward to your continued analysis as we gear up and get ready for the BCS title game. And, of course, we'll also be getting ready for the Rose Bowl. We're so excited for the Horned Frogs. Jason, enjoy your time with the family out in California. We look forward to catching up with you next week. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and God's blessings. We'll talk to you here real soon.
Same to you, Alyssa. The sun's already shining out here in California.
That's right. I'm all about being sunny, bringing you some good luck. Thanks, JP. We'll talk to you here real soon.
All righty.
We're going to step aside. Bruce Feldman, senior writer with ESPN The Magazine, will be joining us in just a moment.